Hello. It's now 10 to 5 on Thursday, the 15th of August. Get up, clown. You can't slide down there, it's wet. And we're in John O'Groats at the top of Scotland. Currently sat outside John O'Groats Gallery. From where I'm stood, I'm looking out north into the North Sea, across the Orkney Islands. It's been a good trip up from Edinburgh, quite memorable. It will be memorable. Some beautiful scenes. As we left Edinburgh, it started raining, and it was kind of on and off drizzle and a bit of rain for about two-thirds of the journey, to be honest. And then the weather broke, and then the sun came out, and it was beautiful. And we drove up that coast road past, let's have a look, here we go. It was basically the A9 all the way. Let's have a look. So I'm just checking the map now. As you might have guessed, the internet signal is not very good. So from, here we go. You know, so past Inverness, basically. Once we passed Inverness, past Invergordon, Tain, Golspie, Brora, and then we stopped going up the coast road and came inland towards Thurso. And we stopped at Thurso and then came along the top to the place that we're staying, which is a bed and breakfast. And really nice people at the bed and breakfast. I haven't spoken to, is it John? Sandy and Ron. Sandy and Ron own the bed and breakfast, and it's the, what's it called again? Ben Corra House Bed and Breakfast, which is about, it's not far, it's only about four or five mile away from where we are. Sandy used to be in the RAF. 40 years ago, she says. It's her 59th birthday tomorrow, she says. Yeah, she used to be in the RAF. Or the Women's Reserve, whatever it was called back then.
Which one do you take a picture?
You don't take a picture with anything with this camera. Daddy takes pictures with this camera. Because Jessica, you put anything in Jessica's hands, like that, and it breaks. Well done, Jess. You win the prize today for breaking things. Oh, he's just gone. Head up. Head. We've got some children who, even though the journey took about 6 hours, we stopped quite a few times, actually. A few leg stretches. Come on, then. Let's walk and talk. Get some. They'll be hungry now. No doubt. Jessica, stop there. Stop there. You look. So now the two youngest are full of energy and they're blind with energy running about. Come on, get on that footpath there. Over there. I've just told you, he's gone head over heels. He's got a mucky backside from sliding down the bank. Which is quality. A lot of camper vans in his car park. Italy. British. Another Italian. And there's three Italian vehicles. We've seen more Italian vehicles coming up here than anything else.
Not one.
Uh-huh. Oh, dear. Right, okay. After a pause of about an hour and a bit, children are fed, so they're happy, or one would seem to think. We got some scram from a place called The Cabin, which is a cabin in the harbour, and fish and chips and chips for everybody. So I was speaking to a fella just before I record the audio book, actually. So some motorbike, thank you, Sean. Just before I record the audio book, I saw a motorbike just next to the tourist information, and it had funny number plates, and I saw a guy who'd obviously been having a brew, and says, "Your motorbike?" He says, yeah, what's the matter? I says, "No, I'm just wondering where you come from." Korea, he says. I'm like, bloody hell. You're Australian? No, New Zealander, he says. And he's ridden from Korea and then onto the mainland, Mongolia, Russia, through Europe. Across the channel, English Channel, up to here. And he's turned around now and going down to London, putting his bike in a crate and it's flying back to Korea, and he's flying back. And it's taken him 6 weeks to do that, and he says he needed longer. He says everywhere he stopped, he wanted to stop for longer, you know. But he looked knackered. He says he'd been, you know, he had a little one-man tent and small dust bag, and he looked rough, like he hasn't showered in a few days. And but I'm quite jealous of him, actually. It's something I want to do. I have to get a bike license first, like. The weather, we had a little bit of rain there, but just a little sprinkling. I'm going to go for a bit of a drive now. If you ever come to John O'Groats, this touristy bit, there's not a great deal here, to be honest. You get the ferry across to Orkney, wildlife cruises, couple or three shops, tourist information place. It's all right. Prices aren't bad for things, I suppose. Yeah, okay, I'll pause it for now. And we're off for a little drive. Hello, I'm back. Hi. It's 5 to 6 now, and we're at Duncan's Behead, just about 100 metres away from the lighthouse. I've decided to seek refuge in the car just until this rain passes. We've got the stacks of Duncan's Bee behind us about 3/4 of a mile, and we were going to walk it when it just started drizzling really heavy, and it's actually, now that we'll look, we're not going to have any reprieve. The weather's coming in northwest, from the northwest, and we can't see the islands now because of the rain. So we're just going to sit here. We're going to warm up a bit. It's the first time we've had rain during the day, certainly in a long time that we've known. And the first time I've had to put my raincoat on because it was raining in a long time. I'm dressed completely inappropriately in shorts, and I've fortunately and quite luckily I brought my fleece body warmer with me, and I've got my Rab jacket as well, Gore-Tex. Well, event. So we're sat in a car park. There's quite a lot of people here. How many cars do you think, everybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Not including us that I can see. Quite a lot of people here. My walking boots are in the boot as well, but I've got no socks. completely unprepared. So how's everybody feeling? Oh God, really enthusiastic. Sarah's not happy. So we are the most... Well, this isn't the most anything, is it? He says... Yeah, we need to nip across to Dunnethead. Yeah, so, yeah. I'm just looking at the map now. I've got a 3G signal, which is quite good. So this isn't the most anything, really. It's the most top right corner of Scottish mainland. Top northerly. I mean, Aberdeen is more east than we are now, he says. I'm looking at the map. But I've always wanted to come here. Oh, so, anyway, when we were in, what was the name of the place? Brora. Hang on. I'll zoom in. I'll find it. Brora. Yeah. We passed by Richard Whitehead, who's running around Great Britain. And he has no legs. And I'd actually, in doing a bit of research in that Christian around Britain, who's the ex-soldier who's declared himself homeless, and he's walking around the coastline of the Great British mainland. Yes. I'd come across that guy, but I hadn't done any. Oh, here we go. My able assistant. Richard Whitehead, British double-leg amputee and Paralympic gold medalist. It's running a marathon a day. Is that what it is? Hang on. We have Googled his name. 40 marathons, 40 days. Is that what this is? Yes. From John O'Groats Land's End, championed by Virgin Media. Find out more about where Richard will be. Okay, so we passed. Oh, he's only just started. Oh, no, hang on, sorry. Is he going to Land's End, John O'Groats? Oh, he's nearly finished. No, he was facing. No, that's wrong, because the support, we passed by one support vehicle and it was coming south, and it looked, and the vehicle that was with him was coming the other way. So he must be going John O'Groats Land's End. Does it say when he started, Sarah?
From John O'Groats to Land's End.
Oh, from John O'Groats to Land's End. So he's just started.
Land's End, clown. That was his first marathon today.
Oh, from John. Oh, brilliant. So we shouted out the window some words of encouragement as we drove past, and Sarah managed to get a half decent picture of him as we went past. And he'd stopped, actually. He looked extremely hot. And he had those springs on. Are they called springs, aren't they? Those running legs, springs. He was wearing those. My God, it's hot in here now. And he looked extremely hot. He was pouring water onto his head. So yeah, today's day one. Excellent. So we've left the iPad at the Tops house. Oh, bollocks. Left the iPad at the Tops house. And because I've got my camera connection kit with me. So I could have uploaded a picture for the world to see, but decided against bringing the iPad, which was a major mistake.
I think
he
started yesterday.
Oh, he started yesterday? Oh, he must have done. Yeah, he. Has he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll look across to our right, which is east. Yep. And I can see that fella's motorbike. So he's here. It's still drizzling. Let's have a look. Very light drizzle, but that now we're going to get some nasty rain very shortly. I look down to my left, which is west, and I can see a beach down below and some very white sand down there. That looks nice. But we're not going down there because it's chucking it down. Got a 3G signal on double E. And also got a 3G signal on 3. So the little MiFi is getting switched on and connected to. There we go. That was quite a quick connection. And should have had a. If we had a camper van, we could have camped up here, I think. What are we stopping at? Oh, the children. Maybe we should just get them out in the rain. Right. Okay. Ciao for now. Bye. Oh, just a quick update. We waited for the rain to pass. Went out, got soaking, come back. Rain did pass. And I went out across onto the top. There's a trig point up here at Duncansby Head. Past the trig point, along the path towards Duncansby Stacks. No, the Stacks of Duncansby. And managed to get some photos with my DSLR. I could see the weather coming in behind us. Oh, wow. I've just seen a seagull dive into the sea to get the fish. In fact, they're all doing it. Mega. Anyway, so... rubbish. No. So Sarah's gone out with the girls and I've come back to the car. I'm looking back west towards John O'Groats itself and there's a cloud over the top of it. But you can see the underneath the cloud and the underneath of the clouds reflecting orange against a kind of a grey coloured sky. Looking out north, can't really see much. Limit of visibility is probably 2 miles. There's a bit of land that juts out in front, going left to right, with a gap going down at the sea in between, and there's some sheep precariously on the edge. Some Spanish standing next to me. Got the car window open. Beautiful looking clouds with the wind. Got some low and high cloud that's moving quite quickly, but at a different pace, a different rate. Sun's come out now. Still in danger of getting rained on. I expect this neck of the world gets this weather all the time. Rain, sun, rain, sun, rain, sun. You know, everything is blown off the North Sea, coming into land. Clouds forming essentially. There's clouds forming essentially right in front of us and above us. But there's a lot being blown in from. What? No. Got Harry giving us a commentary here. What? Well. Oh. Excuse me. You little tinker. Anyway, sorry. Just looking around the map there. Yeah, so it's great to finally be here. It's one of my childhood dreams to be able to come here and see what the land's like. And to be honest, it's like any coastline, any part of the coastline really, around the UK, but I'm actually here. The people are nice. They're not really treating tourists the way that some locals do. The people have been really nice, actually. Really, really talkative. And we've found that, and everywhere we've stopped in Scotland so far, really nice. And you know, I don't want to get onto the subject of Scotland going their own way, but you know, what's my feelings on it? Well, I am not even a cog in the machine, let alone a small cog. So, but the fact of the matter is they've got the Jocks have got a fantastic country, Mac McColgan. Your country's lovely. It's really, really breathtaking place. Coming through the Cairngorms, following that A9 Coast Road, and everybody's been nice. And generally, everybody in the world hates the English. So, not a wrong word said. Nobody looking sideways at us, and really enjoyed our trip here so far. This sheep was going to fall off this cliff face. I'm going to take a quick video actually. Right, ciao for now. Hello, Audio Boo. We're now 3 hours after I paused that last Audio Boo. Come on, Richard, what are you doing? It's now 10 p.m. In the time that I last spoke, we were at Duncansby Head, and then we went to Dunnet Head, which is the most northerly point in Great Britain. Mainland Great Britain. Northerly point in mainland Great Britain. So, children were obviously tired, and so we went straight home. And then I turned and burned and came to Tesco in Thurso for some bits and pieces tomorrow morning. We'll get up early tomorrow, breakfast at 7:30 and out the door for about 8 o'clock if we can. And we've decided that, you know, it's a one in a lifetime. Well, it's not one in a lifetime, but we're here, so we're going to do it. So we're going to go back down. When we hit Inverness, we're going to go southwest and go down the edge of Loch Ness. And at Fort Augustus, we will come back around again. We won't go as far down as Fort William. We'll turn round at Fort Augustus. Not turn round, but, you know, head south, or at least southeast at Fort Augustus. So we've had a really, really good day, fun-packed day. Well, I say fun-packed. We got to Dunnet Head, and we got down to the lower viewpoint on the cliff face, and Harry decided to trip over and fall flat on his face in a muddy puddle, so that was great. So Sarah went back to the car with him. It was all Jessica's fault. So Jessica kind of spoiled things a little bit, but all was made up, and we left there and went back home. So I went to Tesco just now, and as I freaking always do, left me bloody card in the machine. So I got 10 or 15 minutes back, and I had to turn around and go back and go and get it. So I'm on my way back to the B&B now. Yeah, so it's such a beautiful place, this. You know, there are a lot of places that are extremely remote, and if you're going to live here, you have to live here for a reason, probably farming, I would have thought, or running a bed and breakfast, because there's not much else to do here. And you know, if you want to go to a supermarket, you know, you have to hit somewhere fairly big. We're on top of the world, literally, you know, country speak. It's a beautiful place. It's barren and it's wild, but you know, I really, really enjoy that. I really like that. I didn't know what to expect when I came up here, to be fair. I know I mentioned before there that the coastline at Duncansby Head, at John O'Groats, anyway, is like the coastline anywhere, really. But you know, when you're here, and I'm looking left now across to the Orkney Isles, I can see them right now. I mean, it's the sun's gone down, but there's enough light to see them, and it's just a stone's throw away from here. You know, my next mission, one of my next items on my bucket list, so to speak, is to go across Orkney Islands, Shetland Islands, and the Hebrides, Outer Hebrides. I really, really want to do that. I've wanted to do that for so long. This is the mainland task complete, so to speak, and so now we can concentrate on going to the islands. Sarah was saying before there that she'd like to come back and spend more time here. you know, spend, you know, a week or 10 days going around this coastline, which will hopefully give us a chance to go to go across to the islands, which is something I want to do. And of course, for those in the wild camping scene, it's legal to wild camp anywhere in Scotland. Just as we say in a trade, leave no trace, LNT. Dean Reed will know what I'm talking about. Obviously, leave no trace. So, but I haven't seen any, I've seen quite a few hikers, a lot of people on push bikes, but, you know, well, in total, since we've been here, up this neck of the woods anyway, I've seen about, what, 10 hikers, with full rucksacks, you know, really big, you know, 80 litre rucksacks, which you could see were quite weighty, you could tell. Yeah, so that's that. So this is the end of the day. It's been a great day. It's been a long day, but a good day. Some fantastic scenery. And definitely be here again. So hopefully we'll get round to doing a boo tomorrow. Thanks for listening. All one word, out.